Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the D. Whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves
live
at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881.
That's 917-932-8881.
Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183.
That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show, listeners. We have a treat for you tonight. We have an awesome author, Emmanuel Barbie, urban author that's coming to be interviewed with us this evening. He's the author of the book, The Solution for Black America, Reclaiming, Rebuilding, and Restoring the Urban Ghettos of America. We're going to do something a little different. I usually read their bios, but since we've given the authors an hour, extend this to an hour now, what we're going to do is just connect him in and let him share with you his phenomenal mission and goal and his journey as an author. We're going to connect him in right now.
Dale.
Good evening.
Hello?
Good evening, Emmanuel Barbie. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Hello. Welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. We are so delighted to have you this evening to talk with us about your new book.
I'm glad to be here on your show.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a great pleasure. I just want to say that just talking with this brother here, you know, he has a strong mission and a very heart for his community, and that's why it was just really great to have him even come and take time out of his busy schedule just to talk to us this evening. Emmanuel, why don't you start us with just telling the people a little bit about who the author Emmanuel Barbie is.
Well, basically, I'm just a ordinary American citizen, you know, just like everybody else, work hard, honest, law-abiding citizen, and I have a great love and compassion for, I would say, my people that are suffering in the inner city ghettos today, and I'm a former member of that community, and I just wanted to try to give back my talents and skills and resources back to the community that I came from, since so much of it is neglected.
What would you say that really prompted you more so to begin putting sweat and your energy into writing this book? Because it covers a lot of different things. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you talked about in your book?
Okay, sure.
You know, chapter.
Sure. Well, basically, I've read a whole lot of books about how to improve Black America, because I was always interested in that topic ever since I was my younger youth. I was always fascinated about, I would say, Black America, and I always wanted to know more about, I would say, on a personal level, when I go out to visit some of my other family members, that's, first of all, I want to mention that I was born and raised in, I would say, a working poor class. And so, you know, we always had to struggle, and I know how to you know, improvise. But I noticed every time that I would leave my community and go out and when we visit our other relatives that's like in an upscale neighborhood, it was nice and peaceful, and it was the kind of communities that I used to see on television. And I kept trying to figure out how come the community that we live in is so much chaos. I kept seeing a lot of gang activities, a lot of shootings, and a lot of violence. And when I went outside of my community, it was real peaceful, and you know, the so-called American dream. And so I was always fascinated, what was wrong with this picture here, you know? And so I've been, as a youngster, I used to read a whole lot of different books and educate myself more about the African-American experience. And I was just really fascinated about what I read. And I can honestly say that I can identify with Malcolm X, because I have a similar experience like him. I was unfortunately taken away from my mom's because one of my brothers, he was into illegal activities. He used to sell drugs. He was a petty drug dealer. And my other brother, both of them was older than I. My other brother, he was, I would say, an addict. And so he used to dip into my other brother drug supply and got himself hooked on that stuff. And, you know, it was kind of, I saw a lot of how the drugs, you know, mess up, you know, the family, and our apartment was raided, and it was very scary and terrifying for me when I saw police officers bursting down our door with their guns drawn and telling everybody to freeze, and it was just scary. So basically, I was taken away from my mom's. I was tossed into the, became ward of the state. I was in different foster homes. And actually, like I was saying, I read a book as a youngster, and I noticed that Malcolm X, he was also caught up in that type of situation. The only difference, I would say, between me and him was that he was a Muslim, and I consider myself a Christian socialist.
Okay. That term socialist, a lot of people may not, have a view or a real idea of what a Christian socialist is. Can you kind of shed a little light on that for the listeners?
Sure. Well, basically, it's I would say, in a nutshell, from a Christian point of view. But, you know, I would consider myself like a non-denominational. So I don't want to affiliate with any different man-made denominations. So I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he rose on the third day, and I believe that Jesus is in my heart, and I try to live that, you know, the principles according to the teachings of the Bible. That's just in a nutshell. Now, the socialist part, though, is, I would say, basically what capitalism is trying to claim to be, which is equality for everybody, but we already know that's not true. If it was true, we wouldn't have anti-discrimination laws on the books. So socialism brings equality for everybody. Basically, it's different forms of socialism, but I focus on democratic socialism because I want to see equality for everybody. Also, that gets rid of the class distinction. And it's just basically, it gets rid of poverty as well as, I would say, structural inequality too. So that's what drove me to that, and that's the kind of person that I try to be.
One of the things that you hit on earlier, you just gave a little bit about your background of being the ward of the state, and being going from foster home to foster home. I think that a lot of people, a lot of that is happening in our community today, and it sort of saddens me that that. You know, don't get me wrong, I don't think there's anything wrong with people supporting people overseas and things of that nature. But it seems like we have so much here that issues that need to be addressed in all the communities across the board, and that it seemed like we would come together as a people to support efforts of homelessness for, you know, children or children being put in foster homes. What do you think? Is that part of your mission? Is bringing resources and bringing, healing to the community as a whole, as it is regards to our children and in their state of being? You know, because kids are not always, they're born into the family. They can't choose the family that they will have. So a lot of them become wards of the state, or, you know, because of the current situation that they're born into. How do you think that we can come together as a people to change some of those things?
Okay. The program that I'm trying to start right now is called and that's in my book too. It's called the Grassroots Community Activist Movement.
Okay.
And, yes. I just have to be honest with you, Michelle, as well as, you know, the audience out there. I do not have any black organizations in Chicago, you know, that's willing to do a partnership with me. And that's very discouraging, you know. And I've been, you know, trying to share this in my former community, I would say over 10 years ago, and, you know, failed on deaf ears. Currently, this year alone, I started my own non-for-profit back in March of this year, and I still haven't. I've tried to reach out to my current community, even some of my family members, and a lot of them, they say that they didn't have time to, you know, get involved. So I had to shut down my non-for-profit, and, that kind of hurt me a little bit. But my higher powers has given me a vision to keep, you know, pressing on. That's how come I'm online, too. And before we end this interview, I would like to, share with the audience out there how they can connect with me if they're interested. This book is more than this book is geared toward trying to recruit reasonable brothers, sisters, and others from across the country that can understand my vision, because it's primarily geared toward the black community, the so-called urban ghettos. But my organization is open for all racial groups that they can be a part of this as well. But everybody has to accept those principles that I have in this book. And so that's how come that's important that they, you know, take their time and read the whole thing rather than just certain parts that might, you know, be appealing. I have stuff based on a political view as well as a spiritual view, because I want to reach out to the secular community as well as the faith-based community.
Right.
So what I'm saying,
you're saying that the book is a recruiting tool to compel to Black America to support, or, you know, to support or begin to understand your mission, and with hopes of recruiting people that share that same vision in wanting to change the mission of our community.
Almost. Right at this point, my goal is to try to establish my administrative team, because I want, you know, different inputs, because I'm covering a whole lot of different things, a lot of resources that other communities take for granted. Like one of the main things that I want us to try to focus on is to change these gun laws. I cannot create, I would say I can't bring businesses and create, you know, legitimate jobs in the hood if, you know, in an urban war zone. You know, so we're going to have to try to deal with, you know, that safety issue. And that's the reason why I can't just, basically, if it was up to me, I would just up and move to another city and stuff like that and probably get it started. But I feel like I would be doing a disservice to the innocent brothers and sisters and other brothers and sisters that have been and children that's been, you know, shot over senseless violence. So I don't want their death to be in vain. That's how come I want to be a voice for them. But also, I want to, once I get this organization up and running, I want to replicate it, you know, in every major city in America, you know, for the urban poor. And
okay, so you want to replicate it, so you want to get it, the organization up and running.
For our headquarters to be here in Chicago first.
Okay, and then branch off into...
I would say chapters.
Other chapters. Okay. All right. That's a, you know, excellent effort, you know, because just your title alone, it just really it grabs me because so many people are afraid to really talk about what, you know, what issues that we are dealing with now and, you know, let alone put it in the book. I remember you telling me before that it was a lot of controversy surrounding your book. Why don't you kind of explain to our listeners, you know, what kind of controversy was surrounded by the material that's in your book?
Well, some people that I spoke with told me that, and I wrote this also in my book as well, under the frequently asked questions, that, you know, there's already organizations that's out there that's trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do. So, I mean, what's so special about your organization? Something like that, you know, being sarcastic. And, yes, it is. And, yes, we're going to do something similar, but the major difference is we want to teach the community about democratic socialism, because this is going to be a socialist organization.
Okay.
And so a lot of people, you know, they get afraid of that. They think of first thing come to their mind, oh, you're a communist and all that garbage, and that's not the case. I mean, Michelle, that's a good point that you brought up, and I want to stress this, that I get my strength based on, you know, creating this organization. It's basically picking up where the civil rights movement ended, which was the Poor People's Campaign. And I'm trying to apply those same principles in terms of being nonviolent and everything to this day and age under the grassroots community activist movement. But the main thing I want, though, go ahead, please.
The main thing that I'm looking in the title of your book, Reclaiming, Rebuilding, and Restoring, the three R's. That is fantastic. Just alone, if people would embrace that whole vision about reclaiming, rebuilding, and restoring, then perhaps they can, you know, grasp a little bit better about your mission rather than trying to distill your vision by saying that there are other organizations out there doing it. Yes, that may be so, but you can never get with so much going on in all the communities across the nation. You can never have enough organizations. Even if we have other organizations doing what you envision to do, there is just still not always enough resources or enough organizations that's able to continue doing things to bring about change in the community. Because when one run out of financial resources, then you have organizations shutting down. So it seems like that sometimes you run into the wrong people that you may be expecting to, you know, embrace your vision. But that's why I'm glad you're having this show this evening, hoping that, you know, even one, if you even get one person that's willing to embrace your vision and that's able to offer some type of support or resources or connections to get your team together, which would be, it would be a phenomenal thing, because just talking about those things alone is something that's worthy to be implemented in our community today. Wouldn't you
okay.
say?
Yes, and I just want to mention, though, and I wrote this as well as in the book, we were able to, I would say after, okay, you know, after slavery during Reconstruction, you know, our people were able to come together and they were very successful, you know, until the Ku Klux Klan, you know, felt threatened and used intimidation and, you know, and the Jim Crow, and that gave rise to the Jim Crow and all those things. But I'm just saying, I look at stuff like that during Reconstruction, how black people were able to pull our resources together. And we can do the same thing. That's how come, you know, I try to have a, I talk about a historical perspective. I talk about W.E.B. Du Bois in my book and what he was saying, and I want to try to apply those same type principles that they use to this day and age. But again, I have to work with reasonable people, Michelle, because basically everybody want to be in that spotlight, and that's why I think what's going on today, especially with me trying to get myself up and running, because it's all about competition. There's a lot of people are so capitalized now that it's all about quote unquote being in the individualism and trying to be seen and, oh, this is what I do for the community. Do you have a track record and blah, blah. Michelle, I used to work behind the scenes. I used to go out at 9 o'clock in the evening time on during the weekends, I would say like on Saturdays, and I used to speak with streetwalkers or prostitutes, and I spoke with some of the petty drug dealers and try to encourage them to, you know, try to use those same skills for something positive and try to work with me. That's why I was trying to get them to, you know, try to understand. And also I spoke with the homeless, and I even fed the homeless people. And I was trying to give them, you know, a different vision about life and about what I would like to do to help be a blessing to them and even train them and hire them, you know. But, you know, all only thing it is right now, Michelle, is all just in theory. I want to make this a reality. I don't want to just be saying all these things without being able to deliver. Now, I do admit that the reason I had to leave my former community is because I got jumped robbed several times, and I got beat up, you know, by criminals from the community that didn't like what I was trying to do. And a lot of people, you know, they was fell on deaf ears, because when I went to those different community centers in my former community, they saw me as a, and the word I'm going to use is a small fry, meaning that I didn't have any political connections. So they were like, hey, what can you do for me? Rather than, what can we do for each other to make this thing a reality? So basically, I want to focus on people that at least have some college experience. In time, I would like for my administrative team to include people that don't have degrees at all. But for right now, I do need people that that have some kind of college background, at least a 2-year degree or above, because I feel like those are the people that could bring more resources to the table, because this stuff is going to cost financially. Now, I do have my current bank, which is Chase. They're willing to give me some loans. Also know how to find some small loans or grants and stuff online. I have access to that as well as my credit union. But I don't want to try to do all this alone, Michelle, because this is going to be a generational thing. You know, I want everybody that's going to be a part of this thing for us to pass that down to our kids. But the main thing I want to stress, if you don't mind, this is kind of what makes people afraid, because, you know, I have to put my foot down, because this is not about Emmanuel. This is about my relationship with my higher power. This is the vision that he gave me. And he was telling me that he's going to make my enemies my footstool. So I have to go back and reclaim my former community first. And Those same people that used to try to harm me and all that stuff, I'm not coming, you know, in fear. I'm coming to, you know, create jobs and try to bring about stability in that community. So, I mean, God is put in my heart that he's going to make my enemies my footstool, and now I understand what that meant. And I hope that it become a reality. But, again, I didn't stress this, but no criminals, no active gang members, and no half-steppers are allowed in this organization, because we are this is the solution. Water and oil doesn't mix. Now, I'm willing to hire ex-felons, you know, maybe if we can do the nonprofit part, because this is gonna take a lot of money, you know?
Right.
But I want to be able to hire them so that way that they don't have to keep being a repeated offender and at-risk youths. I want to give them employment as well. But, Michelle, what makes my organization different is it's going to be targeted. It's going to be geared toward what the type of services that the community want. That's what I want to ask them, and it's going to be our job to create those type of services so we can compete, you know, for the city contracts. So, you know, we can have jobs for those people that we train for those specific areas.
So I do want to address something that you said earlier about people with degrees. Do you think that is something that you saying that you need people to support your organization? What if a person has access to resources and that is very valuable in their knowledge and their experience, but they lack the degree? Wouldn't you think that would be kind of shutting yourself out from viable people that will be willing to put in the sweat and tears with you fulfilling your mission?
I'm willing to take them on board, Michelle. I am. I was just talking in terms of, I just want to make sure that I'm talking to somebody that's real, that's not, you know, about playing, you know, playing games. You know what I'm saying? That they're able to deliver and bring something to the table. That's all.
I address that because there are so many, just for instance, Oprah Winfrey is from, you know, used to be in Chicago, and she didn't finish her degree, so I'm trying to make a point here that if you truly want people to become a part of your organization and to support you, not everyone will have a degree, but a lot of people have the smarts, the energy, the tenacity, the ability to tap into someone else's vision, see that vision, and be willing and able to help you go forth. And if you put a limit on it, therefore you will find yourself not being able to find valuable people to, you know, fulfill your mission.
I understand what you're saying.
I do understand what you mean as far as you want people that are serious, and most people tend to believe that people with a former education are more valuable and more resourceful, but that's not always the case. All I'm saying is just you probably should leave your options available and deal with them on a case by case basis, so that the right people can come to you and embrace you and say, "Brother, I am willing to work with you in seeing your vision come to pass."
Okay.
What are your take on it? What are you thinking?
Well, I said that in the book too. I said that that eventually people that, because Michelle, I want to get people outside of the community first to come in, because people already in the community, they don't have the resources. I'm trying to get those people that, you know, that could could also bring the finance, you know, for us to pull our resources together and go back on the west side of Chicago, and then we're going to expand to do the same thing on the south side of Chicago and then branch out. My thing is that a lot of people that's already in the hood, and that's why they're not able to pull themselves up, because they don't have the resources.
Right.
And so I want to tap into people that know how to get those resources.
Right.
That's all I was saying. And what I'm saying, once we have it there, that don't have degrees, they could. I want them to be part of, you know, part of my administrative team as well.
Okay. I just wanted to address that issue because I know people are going to listen to it in the archives, and I don't want a person to come to the archives and say, well, he said he don't want anybody with without a degree, but I've been, you know, 15 years working in the at the Small Business Administration's office, or, you know what I mean? So I don't want to shut yourself out from, you know, being embraced by those people who may be willing to help you but may not have a formal degree, but they have the smart, the ability, you know, and I'm talking about outside of, you know, your immediate community. Anybody that may come across, I just want your options to be left open, because this is what this interview is truly all about, learning who you are, what your mission is, and how you can, recruit people to come and help you fulfill that vision. Because they, across the globe, there are so many people who want to be a part of a worthy cause and will make themselves available to be a part of this mission. Because a lot of people, they do want to be a part of building the communities back up, and all they need is a person with a vision. Some people may not have vision, but they're able to follow someone that has vision.
Yes, but Michelle, I don't want us to be content. I don't want us to be content with the current system. I would like for us to challenge that current system, which is capitalism. And so in my book, you know, I try to explain to the reader why capitalism is, you know, wrong, and why we really need to challenge it head on. Because some people think, okay, well, if we could just stabilize the community and get rid of the guns, everything is going to be fine and dandy. I mean, I think as long as we're under capitalism, it's still going to create the half and have-nots. I'm grateful that we were able to get a black president in the White House, but, you know, we're still under capitalism. So, you know, and it's going to be the tit for tat. Eventually, the Republicans is going to, you know, become it's going to be a Republican president eventually, and then they're going to undo all the hard-earned work that our current president is, you know, trying to do to help the middle class and working class people. And that's how come I want to challenge that head on, to get rid of both of those parties and for us to start a third party, which would be the Democratic Socialist Party.
Okay. Now, what are some of the things that you have done outside of not having the organization running, up and running like you want to? What are some of the things that you have done locally to begin your mission with rebuilding and reclaiming the community? What are some of the other things that you have involved yourself in?
All righty. Good question. Basically, I'm going to say 1990, that's when I just had enough was enough. You know, I got mugged 3 times from criminals from my community. I just was like, I'm ready to just leave this stuff alone, you know. And I moved north Chicago. But I still had a passion to, you know, try to be a blessing to other people that's willing to, you know, give me a chance to be a blessing to them. I've been sharing a lot of my resources online. I created a lot of different groups to try to start an online community. I'm on 300 different social networks. I network with 125,000 people. A lot of the people that I interact with, a lot of them are very grateful for the services that I provide, for, which are for free. You know, if they accept my hand of friendship, then I'm willing to share my knowledge with them. But that's basically all I've done. Now I want to come from behind the scenes, Michelle, since I network with so many people. I felt like, well, you know, by me writing this book, hopefully they would support me. And since I do network with people throughout the United States, that they would be willing to, that if they're able to, come here to Chicago and help me get my organization up and running here first. And then eventually we're going to spread it, you know, all over the country.
Okay. And now the what is some of the main things that you want people to see? Because I think a lot of times there are a lot of visual people in the community where they will base what you're doing in the community currently based on their decision to get involved with your organization. So. Again, your presence is something that people may look for. Some people are visual. Some people can, you know, just kind of jump on board with just your platform. What is something that people can? I know you on the you communicate a lot on a lot of the social networks. You have a great following, but how do you think that you can kind of bring those connections to come over and support your efforts?
Hopefully if they would purchase this book, Michelle. I mean, in here I give people directly how to get in contact with me. And I want to go back to my former community. So that way I don't just open up, let's say, for example, an ice cream parlor. It's going to be more than that. I want to be an employer. I want to be able to hire people. That's how come I want to try to find reasonable brothers, sisters, and others across the country to be part of my administrative team first, so that way we could purchase a building. Because I don't have a place of business right now. Everything is currently online, and I want to move from beyond online to the actual community to serve. So.
Okay. Emmanuel, we have a couple of questions from people in the chat room. One of the questions is one of our listeners wants to know, what are your goals in terms of working with others in your community?
What are my goals? What are my goals?
What are some of the things that you want to, in working with others in within your community to jumping on a board with your efforts, reclaiming and rebuilding and restoring your community? I hope, listener, I am getting that question. You know, I'm asking that question properly.
No, that's okay. Hold on. It'd be nice, and I said this in the book as well, if they could like a community center somewhere where I can, you know, be able to speak with the director there, and I'm willing to come there, and hopefully I could talk to those people directly, face-to-face, because I don't want to just be behind a computer screen. And, you know, I mean, I just, Michelle, the main thing, I'm not trying to avoid that question. I just need those people to purchase this book first and read and agree with those principles. If they can do that, Michelle, then I can work with them.
Well, I will say, you know, you want people to purchase the book, and certainly we're trying to help promote people promoting your book. But a lot of times, readers, listeners, people want to know especially with the given times of, you know, what the times are now, they want to know upon purchasing things, what is going to be, what's the content, what, why should they be compelled to buy your book?
Because I
want
to be able to create jobs in the hood.
Okay. And can you tell the listeners a little bit more? Because I think that's what they're, you're, you know, and when you're asking people to support your efforts, you can understand, you know, a lot of people will help if they understand your process to a point of how can I help, you know, other than, you know, just buying the book. They need to know what it is. Why should they buy this book? What type of content is in there for them to be able to embrace your mission? The interview is for to so people can, you know, embrace what, you know, what you're trying to sell us, basically. So if you don't mind, if you can kind of, you know, let the listeners know that, you know, again, reiterate your mission of reclaiming, rebuilding, and restoring the urban ghetto.
Well,
because this is like a question that they obviously have, and it would probably make the difference whether they will buy your book or not.
Yeah, I understand. Well, Michelle,
I know I'm asking
very
hard questions, but
no,
you know,
it's not hard. It's not hard at all. It's just that I got
to
make sure, Michelle, that people they got to accept those principles. That's bottom line. I mean. You know, I mean, I'm willing to give a service.
Why don't you give them a little bit of the principles? Maybe that would help. You know,
All right. Let me see. The main thing is we're going to have, like, one of the principles is that, okay, this got something to do with just the way I would like for this organization to be ran. So not only will I hire people, but it's going to be mandatory that they participate in the different committees just to make sure that it's not just going to be a 9-to-5 type of job, you know, that they're going to be involved. You know, and
right,
the actual what's going on in the community. So one of the things is that we're going to have something for people that's, let's see what how to call this. I believe it was called, what I wrote was grieving families that were victims of, you know, violence. So we want to, you know, try to support them. We want to hear all that misery that they went through, you know, try to be supportive. So I would like, you know, some of the people that I hire to be a part of that committee to sit there and understand that, you know, we don't want those people's family members' death to be in vain.
Absolutely. One of the other questions we will go on to, how can others work together with you? I think you addressed that earlier, but this is a question coming from the chat room. And that's a question coming from Black Schoolers.
Okay, hold on. Let me answer my question because I don't want to get to say that question again, please.
It says, how can others work together with you? So you having people ask you questions about working together with you, and these are people, your listeners.
Well, my question to them would be for them to join. I have an online group called the Community Activist Group. They could join that.
Yes.
And hopefully, like if they're in the Chicagoland area, we could make arrangements about them seeing me in person in different parts of the community, you know.
What would be, for instance, okay, you said that you eventually wanted to open up other chapters in various states.
Yes.
I'm in Michigan, which is not too far from Chicago.
Yes.
How, as a Michigander, can I help you even initially to even get started in Chicago? What is it that I can do as an individual to help you, even though I'm in a different location?
Well, you're helping me right now. You're helping me promote my book on your show. So that's big help right there. It's helping me getting the word, spread that word out. So that's a blessing in disguise right there. Hopefully, by you being in the position that you are, maybe you might come across other people that want to try to do the same thing that I'm doing. You could refer them to me. You know, it's all about networking.
Absolutely. What is Emmanuel, what is the link to your group that you were just speaking of?
So here we go. I'm going to give two ways how people can get in contact with me directly. I want to give them my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Emmanuel Barbie Online. That would be EmmanuelBarbee Online. Want me to repeat that, Michelle?
Okay. Facebook, Emmanuel Barbie Online. I got it.
Facebook.com/
/, Emmanuel Barbie Online.
Okay.
I got
it. To reach me through email, that would be manuelonline@gmail.com. Now, what I say in the book. manuelonline@gmail.com. So what I say in the book, Michelle, is that I ask people if they're interested in being part of my administrative team or part of my future staff. I want them to put like in the subject heading, business related, and I want that person to give me their first name and a contact number so that I can speak with them directly. And I wrote that in the book as well. And for people that want to utilize our services, I want them to put in the subject heading future clientele. And I want their first name and a contact number. If they're out of state, outside of the Chicagoland area, I appreciate it. They would tell me, the state and, city they live in, But the main thing, as long as they give me a contact number so that way I can interact with them directly, and then I'm going to hold something called teleconference, where that way I can do what you're kind of doing tonight, and I could talk to people throughout the country on a free, some kind of teleconference line.
Okay.
But I just want this to happen, Michelle. I don't want to sit up, see the kind of guy I am. I don't like to just sit up here and talk about the issues and stuff. I want results. So that's how come what's going to make my organization different, too, is that we're going to hold workshops. It's going to be for 2 weeks after people go through the workshop. Basically, they're going to learn about this organization because I don't like to constantly, have to repeat myself and stuff. But I want people to learn about my vision point blank. And then after that, I want people to sign a consent form, saying that, they agree with, what we're trying to do. And also, we're going to have some type of accountability, okay? So if people try to, steal our funds and stuff like that, we're going to let people know up front when they sign that consent form that we're going to hold them accountable and we're going to take legal action against that person, as well as, we're going to have people's pictures and stuff like that. We're going to take pictures and stuff of people, so that they can have IDs and stuff to get in on the premises.
Yeah,
but we're going to put their picture.
Here.
Just a moment. We're going to put their picture, in our newsletters, up, aside the wall and tell people, hey, look, this is the person that tried to rip us off, so, not to do business with that person. We're doing that in terms of trying to deter people from, trying to rip us off, because we see so much corruption that's going on in Washington and city governments and stuff like that. So we want to make sure that people that's going to be in this organization, we're going to be on the up and up.
Right. Okay. That's important for people to know in the community that you're going to run a pretty tight ship, and you know, you're going to hold people accountable for their actions. So that's a good point to bring out. One thing, we're running, we have 9 minutes left in the show. I just want to get the opportunity. You know, once you're writing this book, Emmanuel, is it after you, since you have published this book, do you see yourself further going into any further writings? Do you ever see also being writing being a part of your permanent career choice, or you're just the purpose was to write this book to get your message out and never to write again?
Well, basically, this is a one-time deal for me because I really want to I want to create jobs in the hood. That's the in the inner city ghettos, basically. And I want to be able to try to bring resources, since the business community, they don't invest in our community, you know. And on something else, Michelle, I really didn't really stress. You know, we're divided by religion as well, so it's not just by class. You know, I would say our people are divided by, but we're also divided by religion. So I want to work with Muslims as well. So I'm going to have, and I wrote that in the book as well, and I explain it, that we're going to have a spiritual component, which is going to be optional. I'm not going to, my goal is not to impose my religious views on anybody. My higher power told me basically focus on creating jobs, and he told me that he's going to, he wanted me to work with, you know, reasonable people, because basically, I want to work with someone that's not trying to, you know, overtalk me and be very disrespectful that I experienced in my past. I want, that's why I say reasonable people. But we're going to have a Christianity camp, and that's going to be geared toward Christians if people want to grow spiritually in that area. If people want to know more about Islam, we're going to hopefully have Islamic camp as well. But the main thing for that is so that we can try to pool our resources together, Michelle, okay?
All right.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your main goal is just, you know, is providing resources for the community,
No. The main goal is trying to bring jobs, you know, there. Because, I mean, that's the main thing. That's the reason why people we have criminals or the black market. And I talk about those things, too. You know, under capitalism, they need a black market, okay? Because that's what keeps capitalism alive and well. You know, you got to create, don't invest in those schools that's in, you know, high crime areas and stuff like that. So how do you expect for the kids to grow up, you know, being productive if, you know, that they're not really getting a good quality education? So they look at the drug dealers and looking at all, trying to make, you know, money the quick way and things like that, and stealing cars and doing all type of illegal activity. And so I want to try to not brainwash anybody, but try to, you know, get them to think in a different paradigm. And that's what I want to bring back, you know, to the community, and try to do something positive. It's a shame, Michelle, that I see a lot of the positive brothers and sisters, that's, you know, all that black talent is wasted, you know, behind bars, when they could have used that talent for something positive. You know, the drug dealers and stuff, they're trying to, huh? I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, I'm listening.
Yeah,
no,
like
no,
the drug,
I'm listening.
Like the drug dealers, you know, they know how to sell their products and stuff, but if they give me a chance, because I'm saying I want to reach out to them, I can help them.
Right.
I call it positive energy, negative energy. I could help them change their negative energy for something positive, like sell tickets for the organization. And, you know, I would like for us to have, you know, at least 4-star hotels in the hood, you know. Or
right,
three.
Right.
Three or four. But, I mean, I want to be realistic about this thing. I know that this is, You know, it's a large vision, but I believe that that's why I want to work with other people that's willing to work with me. And Michelle, I'm not going to sit up here and beg. And that's one thing about I want to teach our people that's part of this organization. If people don't want to be bothered with us, we're going to keep it moving. We're not going to sit up here and beg them, you know, to help us. Because we want to be self-reliant, but we need, you know, we'll work with people that's willing to work with us. That's why I want to go beyond, you know, just the Black community. I want to reach out to the Hispanic community, the white working class community, the Asian community, and tell them that they can be a part of this as well to help build up our resources. And, you know, in turn, we'll help them with their cause.
Absolutely.
But the main thing, too, yes. Michelle, we're going to push for democratic socialism.
All right. Well, you all have been listening to author Emmanuel Barbie, the author of the Solution for Black America, Reclaiming, Rebuilding, and Restoring the Urban Ghettos in America. He has made a lot of valid points about his mission and shared with us his vision to do just what he says he wants to do inside his book. I encourage you to, you know, go to Amazon.com. It's available on Amazon.com for $21.99, I believe. I did provide the link in the chat room for those who are in the chat room and his connections. His Facebook, Emmanuel Barbie Online, and then his email address is manuelonline@gmail.com. This has been a wonderful, wonderful experience with taking the journey of what he plans to do in the future, and he's soliciting the help from other people who share that same vision to rebuild, reclaim, and restore our urban communities, because so many of us do not share, they share the same vision, but they don't quite know how to go about doing it, and they too are in a position where it's just them trying to do it by themselves, and they solicit the help of others. So this is a person out of Chicago, an author out of Chicago, who has said that, I want to do this, but I'm looking for people that can help me fulfill this dream in reclaiming our community. So if you're listening to this, you'll listen to this in the archive, or if you listen in the chat room, or you're just listening, period, perhaps this may be an opportunity for you to come together with someone that shares the same vision that you have in reclaiming, rebuilding, and restoring our communities. Author Emmanuel Barbie, we so appreciate you for coming out to the show this evening and sharing with us your vision and your journey on being that social, what do you call it?
Democratic
Christian,
socialism.
Christian socialism that's making moves to, you know, change the community and impact them in a very positive way. We so appreciate you coming out this evening. We have 1 minute left remaining in the show, and we ask that to connect with author Emmanuel Barbie. Again, his information is facebook.com, Emmanuel Barbie Online, or you can reach him for his personal email address at manuelonline@gmail.com. His book is available on Amazon.com for $21.99. If you share his vision or if you like to embrace his journey and understand his vision more, please do go out and support him in buying this book. And $21.99, we waste that all the time, you know, buying McDonald's and stuff, things are not healthy for us. So why don't you pick up a good read and find out how we can embrace our communities and come together as a people to, you know, rebuild our communities. You have been listening to Poetic Energy on the Poetic Energy Radio Show. Thank you all for stopping by. Have a great evening. God bless.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou